welcome you to this worship service of Calvary Lutheran Church for the weekend of July 4th and 5th, 2020. It is the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. It is also the weekend in which we celebrate with our nation its independence, and I hope that this finds you enjoying time together with friends or family and the opportunity to recognize our nation's heritage on this special weekend. By way of prayer announcements, we begin with some good news to pass along. We received word from Glory Kurth that her friend Henry Alba has improved greatly, and we will now be taking him off of our long-term prayer list, but we do so with rejoicing. Tony Dentiste's aunt, Lori Gomez, is also doing much better, and she as well will be removed from our long-term prayer list, but both Tony and Glory thank us for having them on the prayers for this period of time. Jane Toffner also reports good news. Her good friend Mary has gone home after nearly 6.5 weeks of serious illness involving kidney dialysis, but she is doing much better, and so Jane passes that along for us. We rejoice with the healing that has come to those three folks. We add this week Johnny Rausch's good friend Jan Janschen, who has been hospitalized after a series of small strokes. Please add Jan to your prayers. Barb Snyder also asks us to add her friend Nancy Waters, sister-in-law Nancy Waters, to the prayer list. She entered a hospital this past Sunday night, also suffering from a stroke. They live in Rockland, Maryland, and would appreciate prayers for healing for them. By way of one other announcement, this weekend we would like to inform you that our music now is transitioning after being amply and more than amply supplied by Kyle and a few others from our congregation over these past several weeks. We now turn things over to our new music director, Nicole Moritz, and we welcome Nicole to our congregation. Nicole is from the area. She has served a congregation in Wauwatosa for the past 13 years. She studied music at Bob Jones University in South Carolina and has a number of years' experience teaching music in the schools, both parochial as well as Sunday schools that she has served at. She lives in Slinger along with her husband Bryant and their two children, Sean and Grace, ages 8 and 6. So please take the opportunity to welcome Nicole to our congregation when you have the opportunity. We thank God for the work of the search committee who was able to introduce us to Nicole and bring her to our congregation. They did a very good job, led by Terry Trottier and a number of others. And so we have much to be thankful for this weekend as we begin our worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We now take a few moments for silent reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Jesus bids us to come to him when we are weary, promising his yoke of love will be easy. Give us the grace to see that our true peace comes from assuming his yoke and serving you until we are last at rest in him. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please pray Psalm 145 responsively. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever.
Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom.
One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts.
They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works.
They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds.
They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness.
The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love.
The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made.
All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you.
They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might.
So that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does.
The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down.
Our second lesson is from Romans chapter 7. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find the law is at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Hi, everyone. It's Mr. Kyle. There are many things in this world that are just too heavy for us to carry. Cars, houses, trees, you name it. There are some things that are just heavy and hard to carry, you know, like a heavy box or a bag or maybe a table or a chair or a couch. There are also some things in this world that we can't see, but that we carry with us and are very heavy. And we all carry these heavy things, even your parents and your grandparents and other adults in your life. Maybe you are sad and disappointed because of all the changes that have happened in the world. School ended differently this year. Maybe you haven't seen your friends in a long time. Maybe you haven't even seen your grandparents or other family members in a long time. Many things are different this summer. Trips and vacations got either canceled or changed. Summer camps different or canceled. Summer and other sports activities that you would normally do, those are different too. And even church is different right now. But then there are all the heavy sins that we carry with us. All the things that we do, even though we try to do the right thing. We're all looking for rest from carrying these heavy things. In our gospel lesson, Jesus gives us the greatest news of all in this time. He says, "Come to me, all who are heavy laden," or who are carrying heavy burdens, "and I will give you rest." So whether it's disappointment and sadness for the way that things are, or maybe sin and sorrow that you're carrying with you, Jesus says, "Come to me, and I will forgive you and give you rest. And I will give you something that's easy to carry." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son to carry our heavy things and to give us rest in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our nation, the United States of America, is 244 years old this weekend. That may seem like a long time, especially for folks like me who remember as though it were yesterday, the summer of 1976. And some of you may also recall that there would be on the news broadcasts every evening a bicentennial moment aired every day throughout the summer of 1976, culminating on July 4th. I remember it like it was just yesterday, and yet it was 44 years ago now. Nevertheless, when you look at the history of our country, in the context of world history, America is rather young. Think of nations like Egypt, China, Persia, England, and Greece. They all make America's history seem like a mere blink of an eye in comparison. Or try this angle out. When Thomas Jefferson, the writer of our nation's Declaration of Independence, died, Abraham Lincoln was just a teenager. When Lincoln was assassinated in 1865, Theodore Roosevelt was a boy of 7. The year that he died, Ronald Reagan turned 8. When Ronald Reagan became president in 1980, Barack Obama had just earned the right to vote by turning 18. The lives of 5 presidents can take you all the way back to the beginning of our country, now entering the start of our 245th year. We are young. And yet, among the nations, our principles, at least those to which we aspired in 1776, were not only old, but Jefferson asserted that they were timeless. He wrote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Jefferson took many of his ideas of modern government from an English philosopher named John Locke, whose own political philosophy was influenced by the ancient Greeks, the ideals that they held up of a democratic city-state. Our country is, as history goes, relatively young. Its ideals are not. The Declaration of Independence was so much more than a statement of political intent. It had the audacity to declare that God intends all people of the world to enjoy government that respects all human life, guarantees liberty, understood as the permission, even encouragement, to express individual ideas, including religious ones, and strives to preserve the attractive, if at times dangerous, commitment to giving sinners the means to pursue what makes them happy. We celebrate these, even as we concede, or perhaps mourn, the extent to which a nation can and has confused these freedoms with a rootless liberty, with the taking of liberties that don't properly belong in a mutually responsible society. We are, or at least at one time, were schooled that with freedom comes responsibility. The benefits of liberty are of necessity tempered by the demands of liberty, which, couched in religious terms, more or less means that if you give a sinner freedom, you've also got to subject him or her to a series of checks and balances, keep him in line, which in turn means living peaceably with other sinners whose ideas and desires not only will differ, but might actually offend. But we are not free to live excessive, unrestrained lives. We as Christians should know that more than anyone. We are not at liberty to pursue happiness harmfully or selfishly. As a writer on freedom named Paul the Apostle so eloquently put it, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." That's Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. In his epistle to the Romans, from which we read earlier, particularly this seventh chapter from which we read, if only it were possible, it would be nice if such could be read in every civics class in America. Paul is clearly writing to the individual in this lesson, but if we were to take the liberty to apply it to a country, it clearly warns that even a nation of laws can succumb to the law of sin inside each one of us, which so often masquerades as liberty. Paul said, "For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." Paul knows nothing of a free will, if Romans 7 is our reference, but this freedom from the law of sin means being captured by the law of Christ. That is what we Christians can offer and must to a nation that, through its amazing history, nevertheless has not and still does not do the good it declared it wants. We must teach it by our own selves that God the Creator has, in Christ the Savior, endowed us with the ability to protect all life, endeavor to listen to all people, especially those we disagree with, and pursue what makes for true happiness, obedience to Christ. If we no longer think our nation or our fellow citizens has an ear for such ideals, then we all might as well stop reading the Bible as well as the Declaration of Independence, and we can all go to the beach on Sunday mornings and not just holidays. In our lesson from Matthew, Jesus speaks some of the most comforting words a Christian can hear, and they're good to listen to them alongside of Paul's rather stern words of warning. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." But then he goes on to say, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." That is what Paul is talking about when he talks about being a slave to God's law. He means being yoked, fastened to Jesus. But Jesus does not impose a burden like governments do, and in many cases must do. Jesus elicits goodness from us by first pouring his goodness into us. Governments, again because they have to, more or less extract for the common good things which we all consider to be primarily personal possessions. Jesus takes nothing from us that he does not first provide. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, Jesus describes what the task of his followers will be. And it's an ambitious one. If you recall, several weeks ago, we read how he commissioned his disciples after he called them, and he sent them out, saying to them and using words like heal, raise, cleanse, and drive out. And then added, "Freely you have received, freely give." It's hard to imagine this passage any other way than to say, in Christ, you have been healed through the forgiveness of your sins. In Christ, such grace will raise you from your grave. In Christ, you have, as we confess when we prepare for worship each week, someone who will cleanse the thoughts of your hearts by the inspiration of his Holy Spirit. God asks much of us as citizens of his kingdom, but nothing he has not already given freely. What is true for the Christian and the church is true for a nation. Freedom requires righteous behavior. If it doesn't arise from that, then, as Paul says in Romans 7, it's not real freedom. In fact, it's the opposite. It's bondage. The French writer Alexis de Tocqueville, when he visited America in the early 19th century, said in his book Democracy in America, "I sought for the greatness of the United States in her commodious harbors, her ample rivers, her fertile fields, and boundless forests, and it was not there. I sought for it in her rich mines, her vast world commerce, her public school system, and in her institutions of higher learning, and it was not there. I looked for it in her Democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." On this freedom anniversary of our nation, let your thoughts be directed not just on the common idea of freedom, the sort that says, "Leave me alone," but on Jesus' idea of freedom that says, "Let my happiness be tied up with that of my neighbor." And in so doing, find our greatness as a people the way Jesus found his. Amen.
Profess the faith of the Church with the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, we thank you especially today for the freedoms we celebrate as a nation, and for all the faithful saints who live by faith and seek to do your will among us. However, with freedom comes responsibility for our neighbors and for protecting their freedoms. Help us to be patient and bear witness even with those with whom we disagree. Guide your church in faithfully sharing your holy word and sacraments, in teaching and in preaching, in caring and in nurturing, and encourage your people to serve you as instruments of your love for all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Ever-present God, you sent your prophets and apostles out into a faithless world that rejects the truth of Jesus Christ. Be with all who suffer persecution, especially those who bear faithful witness to your saving grace that is offered to all people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord and guardian of our souls, you have established law and order for our sake and the sake of our neighbors. Protect all who dedicate their lives to keeping us safe. We remember especially those serving in law enforcement. Protect our police, security officers, and other first responders in our community, and all who work to keep us safe from harm. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God and Father, your Son stooped to heal those who were wounded and weary. Fill with joy the hearts of all who suffer in mind, body, or spirit, especially Jan Jankton and Nancy Waters. Turn their sorrow into joy, their suffering into health, and their cries for help into shouts of praise. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.